CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Shift your consciousness. And now, Metaphysical Minds with Shea Barker.
I need to move. I need to wake up.
Insight and interviews with the greatest metaphysical minds in the world.
248-545-SOUL.
New horizons. No boundaries.
Something's got to break. Hey, everybody. Welcome to tonight's show. This is April 10th, and, of course, Shea Parker right here with you every single week, Metaphysical Minds. I want to thank everybody for tuning in with us tonight because we indeed have a very special guest, and I'm so excited to have him with us because we have been we've been trying to track him down for quite some time. He is a very, very busy guy. So I'm going to jump right into it, and I'm so very honored tonight to introduce to my listening audience Mr. James Van Prague. Welcome, James.
Thank you, Shay. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you tracking me down.
Well, I appreciate you allowing us to. I don't even know where to begin with you. Folks, James Van Prague is the website that you need to go to if you want to learn anything about James here tonight, or if you want to check into any of the stuff that we will be discussing in this show. And we have a lot to cover.
It's vanprague.com. VanPrague.com, yeah, because it's not James Van Prague. Unfortunately, I didn't get that domain name way before when domain names were out there. I just got Van Prague, so it's VanPrague.com.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, I did. I guess I did say James Van Prague, but sorry about that. Van Prague. And folks, if you're out there listening and you need to know how to spell Prague, it's P-R-A-A-G-H. So it's just simply Van, V-A-N, Prague, PRAAGH.com. And it's a lovely website, very, very easy to navigate, folks. And I encourage you to go there. And I also encourage you to follow James on Twitter, Facebook, or MySpace if you choose. All of his links are right there on the homepage. You can find them and definitely cruise on over to Facebook, give him a like, and certainly follow him on Twitter.
Yes, now, I need friends. Please like me. I need friends.
You need friends. Give me a break.
And I go on there every day. You know, I go on there at least 20 times a day making these entries and sending flowers in my garden and my dogs. And I really do interact. So people ask me, do you do that? Yes, I do that. I interact also on Facebook and Twitter.
I know. I love your posts. And I actually just reposted. I shared the one today that you posted with the pit bull and the kitten.
Oh, is that adorable?
Oh, my God. That was awesome.
Just great. Okay. Yeah, with pit bull taking care of the kitty. And it's like his child. It's just so sweet.
I know. It's incredibly endearing. And I love that you're an animal.
If only the world could learn from that, huh?
Oh, my God. They have so much to teach us, I'll tell you. Yeah. So, well, speaking of teaching, my friend, you are an incredible just inspiration to so many out there. I don't even really know where to start with you because we have so many things that we have to cover. But, you know, you've been on Oprah, Larry King Live, Dr. Phil, you know, A&E, Maury Povich, 2020, 48 Hours. I mean, you've been all over the world. You're a best-selling author. You do meditation programs, development videos, mediumship classes, seminars. I guess we need to go back to the beginning. And I know you've said this in a million interviews, but for those that maybe we're living in underwater the past several years and don't know who you are, let's kind of backtrack a little bit and start
And that's okay, because when I do a lot of my seminars and my events, I ask the audience how many people are brand new to this, and 90% of the people are brand new. So every day, new people are finding out about, you know, this work and consciousness and awareness. And so that's okay. We always like to open up new minds and hearts.
Yeah, indeed. And that's what this show is about, the Crusaders of Change. And you are, I mean, you can hold that flag high and wave it because you're certainly there. So tell us about James Van Prague. Where did you start in all of this?
Well, when I was a little boy, I used to see spirits all the time. And as a child, about 2 or 3 years of age, which I do remember, I was in the bedroom in the crib. And I remember that my parents put me there and I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be out in the living room with them. And I do recall there was a gentleman in the corner who had white hair and piercing blue eyes. And he used to show me these things. And I vaguely remember it, but I do distinctly remember there was someone there. Several years after that, my grandmother was showing me a photograph album. And she's turning the pages. And she stopped at this one picture. And I said, who was that man there with the white hair? And she said, "That's your grandfather," who I didn't know, of course. Wow. And that was a man. And that was the first time I remember seeing spirit. But then in my first grade class, I had an experience. I was 6 years old, and I walked up to my teacher. I just walked up to her, and I said, "Your son got hit by a car, but he's okay. He just broke his leg." And I knew I had to tell her that, and I was just pushed to tell her that. So I did, and then several minutes later, the principal came in and got that teacher out of the class. She came back several minutes after that, and she said to me, "James, come here." The teacher said, "Come here." And I said, "Yes," and I was very scared. And she said, "How did you know that?" I said, "What?" And she said, "My son was playing soccer, and the ball went in the middle of the street, and he went after it and was hit by a car, but he's okay. He just broke his leg." And I cried my eyes out because I thought I caused that to happen because I was thinking it.
Oh, wow.
And she said to me, "No, James, certain people," I guess how language she used is probably different, but something to the effect of, certain, you know, God gives certain people certain abilities to do things and see things, and maybe one day you'll do that to help people. And I remember she said help people. And that was when I was 6 years old. So I used to see spirit regularly when as a child. And then also I remember then, and my mother said to me, when I asked her about it, she said, "Oh, she used to see them also when she was a child. She used to see spirits as well." And she called them God's angels. And she said, "They'll always take care of you. You'll never be in fear. You know, you'll never be, it's never a danger. Do not worry about it. It's in God's love." And I was raised Catholic. I was very Catholic. And I really kind of put the two together in a way. And I always knew, I never saw visions that were scary or dark or evil, anything like that. But always positive. And then really, it stopped my teenage years. And then in my 20s, I started meditation and started again meditating for a while. I started seeing them again. And I started seeing auras. And I started knowing things about people just like I did as a child. So many years later.
Wow.
That's the skinny of it, really.
So you were just a natural born. I mean, it was just there from day one. There was no near death experience. You were just boom. It was there.
Yeah. I was born to do the work, no doubt about it. My astrologer lady once did my chart, and she looked at it and she said, "Wow." She goes, "No wonder you're doing the work you do, because all your planets are in the 8th house and 12th house. And those are the two psychic houses. That's the two strong psychic houses. And all my planets are in there. So there's no way I could do this lifetime without doing this work, because, you know, I came back to do this work, no doubt about it."
Oh, yeah, no question. Now, okay, so you knew from a very early age that you were different. Now take us through your adolescence and your young adulthood. I mean, okay, were you ostracized for this, or did people kind of, you know, embrace it, or how were you perceived?
Well, I, you know, as a child, I was always ostracized. So I, from the very beginning, it was very weird because kids would never play with other kids. And I was always the one made fun of and all that. And I never knew why. I never knew why that was. And I thought it was maybe my height because I'm so short. But I think later on, I went to a healer once, and he said to me, he said, "You know, if you came back any taller, it wouldn't help you. It would intimidate people. So you came back at a very short stature so you could give them the energy and, you know, and do the work." And I, from a young age, so I was ostracized a little bit, I've always been kind of a loner in a way. I've always loved being by myself. I've always loved that. But in my adolescence, I was a normal, you know, adolescent person. I moved to Los Angeles to be a sitcom writer because I love writing and I love, you know, funny writing, and I could do that. And I went to San Francisco State and had a degree in broadcasting and moved to Los Angeles. And it was really there that I met in Los Angeles. I actually somehow, through some way of meeting some people at a temp job I was doing, a lady asked me if I wanted to go see a medium. And I said, "What is a medium?" And she said, "He's someone who talks to dead people." And I said, "You know, I really don't believe in that." And because I didn't really know about it. I mean, my only reference was the Catholic Church. And I didn't know if I really totally bought that, my sense of heaven or hell. So just to amuse this lady, I went to see this medium. And it was in Manhattan Beach, California. His name's Brian Hurst. And as soon as I walked in, he looked at me and he said, "You're a medium." And I said, "What is that?" And he said, "Well, you're a voice, really the voice of the spirit world. You're going to help change the consciousness of this planet." And I looked at him, I said, "Listen, I just want to be a sitcom writer. I don't know about changing the consciousness of the planet." But he went on to give me an incredible reading and messages from people from the spirit world with details, names and details and things no one could ever know. And it really started me on my journey. It started me on my path to investigate this work. And I read up as many books as I could find on life after death and psychic phenomena, on mindfulness, on mediumship. And I remember through all these books, there was a common theme. And the theme was, in order to find one's soul's path and what one's supposed to do with their life, you should start meditating. And that's really what I did. I started meditating. And it was through the meditation process, after a while, after several months, again, I started seeing spirit and started seeing energy and auras. And really at that time, I was working at another job in the entertainment field. And I was working as a paralegal, actually for Paramount. And I remember the very first experience, my coworker came into her cubicle after lunch. And there was a lady behind her, and it was a spirit. And the lady looked straight at me, and I knew it was a grandmother. I just knew it. And telepathically, this lady said to me, the grandmother said to me, "You tell my granddaughter I'm okay. I have a house in Idaho, a white house with yellow shutters. Tell her about the needlepoint where I taught her and about the footstool cover." Very specific. So I asked this girl about it, and she said, "Oh, my gosh, that's my grandmother. I used to spend every summer with her in her house in Idaho, and that was what it looked like. And she taught me how to do needlepoint. And the last thing we did together was make a footstool cover together. And she made a promise that when she dies and goes to heaven, if she can ever come back and let me know she's fine, she will do that." So that was about 81 years ago. And my life has never been the same. I quit Paramount, and I started working with that medium and through meditation and development circles and learning. It was really a test of faith because there was really no money in it at all, no benefits. I left a really high-paying job. But I knew that the messages, I knew the energy I was working with, and there was nothing better in this world than to tap into that loving energy and to bring solace to these people. So really, I then got in touch with my guides through these development circles, and they said, "If you work with us, we'll always take care of you." And they always have. They've always taken care of me, and it's made the world a better place, I think.
So it absolutely has made the world a better place. And, there's so much that you do on a daily basis to continue that journey of making the world a better place. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of these things that you have coming up that are helping to change the world as soon as we get back from break. Folks, my guest tonight, Mr. James Van Praagh, his website is simply vanpraagh.com. You can also find him on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, etc. Just go to the main website, and you can find all his links there. But do stay tuned, because we are going to continue to pick the brain of Mr. James Van Praagh as soon as we get back from break. Stay tuned.
OM Times Magazine is a leading voice in the conscious community, published twice a month. Each issue is packed with articles about spirituality, healing, relationships, metaphysics, and new ways for you to grow to be the person you are intended to be. New articles are also posted daily on the website. Get connected at www.omtimes.com. OM Times, changing your vibration one article at a time.
Step back in time to the very beginning, before life as we know it existed. Stones have been on this earth since before the inception of man. They are keepers of ancient wisdom and messages. Tap into the profound wisdom of stones and let your journey begin at the Rock Girl Sacred Stone School. Let the Rock Girl take you back to those ancient days to learn firsthand the language and the secrets of stones. The Rock Girl will teach you how to develop your very own technique of communicating with them, allowing you to embark on your own path of self-discovery. Courses include Reiki, psychic development, chakra balancing and auric cleansing, hands-on healing, and more. Visit sacredstoneschool.com for classes and workshops taught exclusively by the Rock Girl of therockgirl.com.
Inner Realm Magazine is the place to see and to be seen in the New York, New Jersey metro area. The premier guide to exploring all aspects of holistic health, it will keep your finger on the pulse of the latest and greatest metaphysical happenings. You can pick up a free copy of Inner Realm Magazine in any of the holistic or metaphysical stores in the New York, New Jersey area. And if you'd like to advertise in Inner Realm Magazine, just contact Cheryl Arcodia directly at www.innerrealmmagazine.com.
Calling all healers. BestAmericanHealers.com is a brand new internet directory, and we are currently looking for the best healers in the nation. Our directory has limited availability in all states for all healing modalities. Join us today and be ranked among the best healers in the country. Visit BestAmericanHealers.com. That's BestAmericanHealers.com for details. Intuitive Tuesdays on the Sky. At 6 p.m. Eastern Time, New Sky Radio presents A Moment of Change with Sherry Gaba and Kathleen O'Connor. Featured on The Dr. Drew Show, CNN, and The Joy Behar Show, Sherry is a psychotherapist and life coach who's helped thousands of people cope with lifelong addictions. Kathleen's an inspirational speaker, author, life, business coach, and entrepreneur with a Ph.D. in metaphysical counseling. This is your moment of change. Great minds think alike. At 7 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Metaphysical Minds with Shea Parker with the approach of 2012. A shift of consciousness is taking place. And now, more than ever, it is time for the world's greatest metaphysical minds to come together. Allison Hayes is the Rock Girl. Tune in to Rock Talk with the Rock Girl on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for an hour of jam-packed, fun-filled, high-energy rock talk that is guaranteed to rock your world. Where is my soulmate? Is he the one? If you've got questions about love, the Zodiac Girls have the answers. Solaris, a psychic astrologist, Laura, a spiritual medium, and Kira, a multiple life psychic, are the Zodiac Girls. Call in early. The lines are hot. 248-545-7685. Instant feedback at newskyradio.com. New Sky Radio. New horizons, no boundaries.
Psychic Radio is CBS Radio's The Sky.
This is Metaphysical Minds with Shea Parker.
248-545-SOUL. New horizons, no boundaries.
Hey, folks, welcome back. Shea Parker here, Metaphysical Minds, and I am just so happy tonight with my guest. I truly am. Mr. James Van Prague is with me this evening, and his website is vanprague.com. You know what? I'm going to interrupt myself. Are we getting some... Brandon, are we getting feedback, or did you hear that?
Yeah, it appears that we are now, so something may have changed.
Okay. Well, I'll keep talking, and if it keeps bouncing, then what we'll do is we'll tweak the switchboard there. So anyway, sorry about that, folks. But anyway, as I was saying,
you talk to a medium, Che. You know, this is what happens when you talk to a medium.
I know. See, it's your fault, James.
Hey, I take full responsibility.
Yeah, tell your spirits to stop playing with us.
I'll throw the back off. Okay.
They're having a good time. So anyway, folks, vanprague.com is the website you need to go to. That is vanprague.com to learn all about James and what he
has. We have a great chat room there, too, for a lot of people. We have people chatting from all over the world and all different subjects, and it's great. So people will love it.
Ooh, yeah, that is. I'm going to jump in that thing.
I'm in there right now.
you are. And that's what's so cool about you, because you're not... You know, you're hands on. You jump in. You talk with the public. It's really cool. I admire that a lot, because I try to do that. You know, with even with my companies, my people, I try to kind of jump in there and not have a secretary take care of everything. You know, so it's very cool. But let's talk about the stuff that you've got coming up, because I know you have so much going on. I mean, you're going to be literally all over the world. I know you have a big cruise coming up. You've got the Spirit Connections. Also have your the special 5-day events coming up at the Experience in Ireland, Atlanta, Laguna Beach, et cetera. So tell us a little bit about the Experience, which is 5-day.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. Just I want to talk to people, let people know. I'm doing the Experience, it's called, and it's a 5-day mastering mediumship class for people who are interested in really developing their intuition or their mediumship. It doesn't matter if you're already a medium or a psychic. It's really to hone your skills and to really learn about energy, to learn how to properly ground yourself and center yourself. I see a lot of people when I do these workshops, they don't know how to ground or center. And that's very, very important when protecting yourself and psychic protection. So I do a whole 2 days on that. And I really have them at the end of the week. They're doing readings for each other with names and details. And it's And not only that, but the emotional stuff that comes up and that clears away that they've been holding on to for their whole lives, they're in a space where they're able to release it and no judgment. And it's amazing. At the end of the week, we feel like family and we're all crying. And it's like, it's a whole enriching experience. So I'm doing them all over the country. I'm doing one also in Rhinebeck, New York at Omega Institute. And that one's called Accessing Your Unlimited Potential. That's a great one there. And it's one in Laguna Beach, and there's one in Ireland. I'm doing one, Ireland. And, there's going to be one in Atlanta also. And then another thing I'm doing, which I'd like to mention, which is another great thing I'm looking forward to, this fall, September 30th through October the 5th, I'm doing a week's workshop with five other mediums from around the world. It's called International Mediumship Week. And we have a medium from Amsterdam, from England, from Australia, myself, and another medium from the U.S. named John Holland. And we're going to be at Omega Institute, and we're all going to work the whole week teaching students how to do this from our all different perspectives, our five different perspectives. And we're going to do demonstrations at night where we, you know, connect with spirits. So that's going to be an amazing week, the International Mediumship Week at Omega Institute. So that's on my website also, if people want to check that out. Brilliant.
Yeah,
Nothing like that in the U.S.
No, there truly is not. And that is going to be absolutely amazing. I know John. He's wonderful and great guy. And you, I mean, the three others I've heard of, but I don't know them personally. But
Tony
Stockwell
had Tony Stockwell's out of England. He's had six shows, TV shows. He's I did a tour with him in England. He's phenomenal, just phenomenal with evidential details, and nice person. And Jose, I've never met her. She's from Amsterdam. Jose Gashalt. I've never met her. I've heard great things. And then Marilyn Wall from Australia is just a heart person, compassionate, loving, healing, incredible person who I met at Omega years ago when she took a training class with me, and she was just outstanding. So she's going to take part in this as well.
Oh wow! Yeah, that is not to be missed, folks. If you're out there, and I mean I'm not kidding. That is going to be one powerhouse, workshop event you literally are not going to be able to replace, probably ever. So I highly encourage people to take advantage of that if you can. So, and then Kat, you go from Laguna Beach to Ireland. I mean,
it's worse than that. No, it's worse than that. I go from Laguna Beach to Peru. I'm going to Peru in June, the summer solstice, and that's a group of 45 people that it's already booked out. And then from Peru, I'm there for about 10 days. I come back home to California for a week, and then I'm off to Ireland. So it is a crazy global trotting world.
You remember to have time to sleep, but I don't even know. Wow. Let's go back to what we were talking about in segment one of the show. So basically in your adult life is when you really started to grasp this. Now, about what age were you?
I was probably about 25, around there, and 26. And then I guess the big time I fully took it on was 28, which is interesting because 28 is your Saturn return. Which, for those who don't know what that means, the Saturn return happens every 28 years, and it's when all the planets are in the same alignment that they were when you were born, and you're forced into doing what you came back on this earth to do, or to learn. So the major changes in people's lives between 28 and 30, 31, and that was when I really got fully involved, I think, into it. And it really was, like I said earlier, a test of faith, and I just trusted spirit, and I knew that energy that came through, I knew the details that would come through. You know, it's amazing, the details, the names and the events and, you know, such specific details that it's just amazing. Even to me, it's still staggering to me. The other day I did an event in Connecticut at this theater, and the first message was from this boy. I said, there's a young man here. He's 23 years old. His name is Bobby. And he said his father is sitting in the audience who has the same name, Robert, and he's wearing his shoes. And sure enough, a man stood up in the second row because that's my name, Bobby. I'm wearing my son Bobby's shoes.
Wow.
And that's how the link was made. And it's staggering. It's staggering. And see how great spirit is when they come through and how hard they work at letting us know that there is no death. You know, death is merely an illusion.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so, okay, when you were a little boy and you were speaking with your grandfather, and then you realized that your grandfather had passed away, then it seems like there was sort of a gap there from the time that you were young to the time that you truly, like, realized what you were. I mean, what this gift was. Now, in the interim there, in that whole span, was spirit communicating with you still?
Very interesting. Very interesting you ask me this. Well, between the age of 14 and, I went to a seminary to be a priest.
Oh, my. Are you kidding? Wow.
I went to a seminary to be a priest because I knew that I had a... It's kind of weird when I look back at it, but I knew that I had to do something for people, and I knew that it involved God. Now that's what I can say. I knew it involved God, and I knew that it involved people, and I knew that of course, I knew that if I went to become a priest, my mother would be happy. So there I was living someone else's life, not my life. But kids tend to do that, you know, that we tend to do that, many of us, to try to get love or whatever it is from other people, try to do what makes them happy. I was there for about a year at the seminary. It was a prep seminary, preparatory seminary. And I remember that it was during the Easter weekend, and we had Good Friday, and each student had to go into their own chapel, and say a prayer by themselves. And I remember hearing a voice say to me very, very distinctly, God is much bigger than these four walls. You need to find God outside these four walls. Very clearly. So I quit. I left. I said, my mother, I can't go here. I have to go to a public high school. And I did. I went to a public high school in New York. And it was the happiest time I had. And I was really kind of a normal kid. I wouldn't say I saw spirit then or heard things, but I definitely was very psychic. I didn't know what to call it, but I would know things about people. I would know things before they would happen. But I never knew what to call that. It was just the natural sense of who I am. You know, that's just who I am. And then when in my 20s, when this mediumship happened, you know, then it all started making sense to me. And I was also very fortunate to sit with, in my early 20s, a physical medium by the name of Leslie Flint, who was probably one of the most famous physical mediums we ever had in this past century. He used to, the spirits used to create a voice box in the air, an artificial voice box, and spirits would speak through this voice box, and you'd hear their voices just like they did when they were alive. And people can actually go to the website, Leslie Flint Foundation, and Rudolph Valentino's come through, Queen Victoria. You can hear these voices. You can hear the recordings, because thank God they've recorded them over the many, many years. And I was lucky enough to sit in one of those, and a guide of mine came through, who I didn't even know who it was, this Frenchman, and he said, through the voice box, he said, James, one day you're a medium, you're sensitive, and one day you're going to help many people, you're going to cross over water, you're going to write a book. He said, what we tell you now, you will not understand, but years from now, you will. And that was 10 years before he really was, you know, involved in it. And, yeah, I've been very fortunate that way. So once we started with the mediumship, it really was a word of mouth. I never advertised. It was always people told people. I was always 2 months ahead, 3 months, 6 months ahead for bookings. Then it was like years. And then the first show that ever called me up, I guess they called myself, Joan Rivers' show, when she had her show. Daytime show. She had me on. That was the first show I ever did. And then the Unsolved Mysteries people called me up, and I did one of those, and that was pretty big. That was a big show. And then after that, I was called in to do a show called The Other Side on NBC, and that was a daytime show in the morning. And I was the number one guest on that show. I was on all the time. And that was on for about a year at NBC.
Yeah, so I remember.
Yeah, and that was way before its time, that show, unfortunately.
Oh, my God, I know. So,
yeah, that the physical issues.
Yeah, that was a great, I mean, they really had a vision on that show that was so far, and like you said, in advance also.
Very much so.
Yeah, so, well, however you got here, I'm glad that you're here because, you know, you really are, you change lives every single day and you can't put a price tag on that. And obviously I know you're very successful, but I also know that many of the true, medium, well, really, I would venture to say all of the true mediums that I've ever interviewed had a whole period of their life where they just gave and gave and gave and gave and gave selflessly, and like you said, you don't make any money. I mean, it's a gift of the soul, and so I think obviously, you know, the universe has a way of rewarding us, but you know, I just can't thank you enough collectively from from humanity for what you're doing out there and the good work that you know, that you've already done. So
you're very kind. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very, very nice. You know, you give out a lot of work and you do it for spirit. You do it. That's the right thing to do. And you have to be selfless in a way to do the work of spirit. Now, it's very interesting, Shay, because I know a lot of mediums out there, a lot of intuitive people. And I find something very, very interesting. Many people think that just because someone's a medium doesn't mean they think they're very spiritual, but not necessarily. I know a lot of mediums who are very gifted as a medium, but they're not necessarily spiritual.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very different things, very, very different. So sometimes it hurts your heart when you see people out there who have the gift, the ability to reach spirit, but yet they're not, on their own level, they're not really spiritually evolved, which is interesting. And we're all growing. We're all here to learn in a schoolroom called Earth. But, I think it makes a big difference when you have a sense of spirit and that you always have to realize that you're serving them. You know, it's not about you. It's about spirit. And always have to. The ego's got to stay in check, because if the ego's in the way, God can't come through. You know, ego edging God out, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you have to maintain that humility always. So,
always.
Well, James, hold that thought, because we do have to take our second break of the night. But, folks, when we come back, we're going to return with Mr. James Van Prague of vanprague.com. Stay tuned.
Take CBS Radio to sky with you wherever you go. Be sure to download the radio.com app today from your mobile marketplace. And when you really want to know more, 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 be sure to visit newskyradio.com. Get in deep with exclusive articles and Sky News. Get your weekly horoscope and the inside scoop on host events. Radio.com and newskyradio.com. Stay connected.
The world spins itself down dust. I wanna be with you. I'm gonna be with you in the color.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
This is Metaphysical Minds with Shay Barker.
248-545-SOUL.
Mary.
New horizons. No boundaries.
Hey, folks, welcome back. Shay Barker here, Metaphysical Minds, and I have a fantastic metaphysical mind with me tonight, Mr. James Van Prague. He can be found directly at vanprague.com. That's vanprague.com. And we have been just kind of getting the Cliff Notes version of James's life tonight. It's really hard to do this in 1 hour, so I am going to just have you back on the show here, Mr. Van Prague.
That's great.
Yeah, so you come on back. But let's talk about something very exciting that you have coming up, and I for one, actually can't wait for this. You've got a new book coming out, Growing Up in Heaven. It's coming out in May. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is the paperback. The hardcover came out a year ago, and the paperback's coming out in May. And I'm doing it's a great book. A lot of people have emailed me, and on my website they said, you know, it's changed their lives, and that's why I write these books, to help change people's lives. This book originally started as it was very, very funny to me. I started seeing children, spirit children, in my office for a while, running around, and events I would do, I see spirit children, and they didn't belong to anybody in the audience. And I was like, okay, what's going on? So when I talked to my guides, I was meditating, and I asked my guides, what is this about? And they said, they're going to help you write your next book. I said, really? And they said, yes. And so it's true. What happened was I saved up many of the readings that I've done, messages that I've given out over the years. I'll go home and write them down and put them away. And this book is about children that have passed over to the other side of life and reasons why they've passed over. It's a book really not only for parents of those children. I mean, that's what its emphasis is. But it really goes into further details. It really expands the awareness. And what happened was I thought it would be just a book about children on the other side of life, describing the other side, where they are in the spirit world, what does the other side look like. And that's what the book is about. But then it went into deeper stuff about karma, about the soul personality, about the soul family. Because many of the children said, well, this was an agreement that our soul family had before we came back into the incarnation, that I was going to leave early this time so, you know, we could learn lessons, whether it's about compassion, detachment, guilt, freedom, whatever it was. They had to fulfill this destiny because in a former lifetime, the parent might have died and they had to go through that. So it was an interesting look, an intricate look of the soul, and it really went into what the soul personality is like and how the soul personality is built up over lifetimes. And another weird thing that happened when I was a kid, when I was 8 years old and I was in school, a spirit boy came to me through a window in my classroom, and I'll never forget it, and he showed me a certain design, and I went home that afternoon and I started drawing this design. It was like with diamonds and X's, and I remember him saying, you're going to find out much later what this means to you. So, okay. So when I was writing this book, Growing Up in Heaven, all of a sudden I'm going to this chapter about what the soul looks like, and this vision of this guy came back to me, the memory of him when I was a little kid, and that design. And I heard in my head, this is the soul matrix. This is what the soul looks like. This is a matrix of the soul, which you're drawing. So I put that in the back of the book, that design. And it really is, it's like a diamond. It's so fascinating because the analogy I always like to use is that lifetimes of experience, we're really diamonds. And each experience kind of cuts out a facet of that diamond that makes it shine even more, lets that light through. And I really do believe that. So the book is all about that. It's about the soul, growth of the soul, about who might appear as a child passing over is really a very evolved soul, the wise ones, who meet someone they pass over, what it's like for all of us when we pass over to the other side, but also what our children are doing, how they come back and help us as guides, the different activities that they do. I also put in the book what it's like for a soul to come back into the earth life, what they have to do to prepare their souls to prepare for the next lifetime. So that's a really interesting chapter.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great, good book. Very good book. Growing Up in Heaven.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm actually going to grab a copy of that and read it because it's, you know, it's fascinating to me. It really is. And I read a lot of the different books written by the different mediums, and I, you know, there's a common theme throughout, but each one has something that is totally just completely off the wall that you would never think of, you know, and it opens your, I think it opens your perspective so much more when you read a bunch of different things, because I don't know, and maybe you can shed some light on this for me. Do you feel that, okay, for instance, there's folks out there that have had near-death experiences, and then, you know, they open up into their mediumship and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you were just a natural-born medium. Do you find that the experiences or the, what am I trying to say here? Like, for instance, the knowledge of the afterlife is different for those that have had NDEs versus those that are like yourself that it's just natural for?
Question. It's a good question. I can answer from both ends because I've had both experiences. I've actually had a near-death experience.
Okay.
I write about that actually in Growing Up in Heaven. I talk all about it. Or Unfinished Business. I'm not sure which one. I think that's my Unfinished Business. But what happened to me was I had about 5 years ago, I had food poisoning. And I'll get right to the part of it. It was very bad. And after 12 hours, I was in the bathroom and I blacked out. My head hit the sink and I blacked out on the floor. I was on the floor and I popped right out of my body. And there was a complete opening of consciousness, a big awareness. And I remember knowing, having the awareness of, what am I doing here? I know I'm not dead. And I knew it wasn't my time to leave. I just knew that. But I didn't know, I was kind of stuck. Like, what am I going to do? What am I here for? And then I instantly saw my cousin who completed suicide 30 years earlier. And she was right in front of me. I'd never seen her since she'd done that. And she's actually taught me metaphysics when I was a kid. So that was very interesting. And I said to her telepathically, what's going on? Am I okay? She said, it'll all be over soon. Do not worry. And then she was gone. And I saw my father right away. And he was 27 years old. He was wearing a tan suit. He looked right at me. And as soon as I saw him, I was pulled right back into my body because I knew it wasn't my time. But at the same time having that experience, I will tell you that time is not what we think it is. Time is not linear. Time is all-encompassing. And I remember having the awareness that we're all connected, if you will, by a cord, a thread above our heads, to this like universal tapestry. I think there's this tapestry. And all of our thoughts that we have are in colors. So if we have loving thoughts, they'll be lighter colors like pinks and violets and so forth. And bad thoughts, negative thoughts are darker in color. And in turn, it floods into that tapestry and colors that tapestry. And I knew that my thoughts are responsible for how other people feel. I had that awareness right away. So that was that. I came out of it. I was fine. I was in the hospital for 5 days. I had blood drawn into me, the whole thing. But I was fine. I had a tear in my esophagus. Well, about 2 years after that, I was doing a workshop, and I was doing an event with another company. And this lady had seen me work before for many years. And she came up to the end of the workshop, and she said, you know, something's very different about you. The way you deliver your messages are different. The type of message are more spiritual-minded. And then I noticed several people would say to me over the several months after that, the same exact thing. You've changed. Your stance is different. What you say, your philosophy is different. So I think I had to go through that near-death experience in order to go either to a higher level or to bring it to another level of vibration, if you will. So I do think that it definitely has an effect on people, whether it makes them more spiritual. We know definitely many people change their lives. Their lifestyles change afterwards. They have more of a meaning to their lives. They realize the responsibility that they have now. So I do think there is definitely something there. A medium, I think, again, we'll go back to what I said earlier. A medium can be a very gifted, intuitive person, and they can have the ability, and hopefully they'll learn by their mediumship that they have to be responsible for their thoughts, their words, and their deeds. We hope so. But again, just because they're a medium doesn't mean that they're necessarily spiritually evolved. So they can be spiritually evolved, but they don't have to be. But I do think a near-death experience definitely does something, at least in my experience, it certainly did. And I think it's very beneficial.
Yeah, yeah. I would concur. I mean, I'm certainly no medium. I'm no psychic. But I would think that going through that experience has got to be, because it's one thing to just kind of be born a medium and be like, la, 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 I'm skipping through the flowers and I'm fine. And then there's another thing to actually experience death, you know, and be able to remember that you did have, you know, you did die and came back. So it's yeah, I think it adds a perspective that certainly enhances, you know, where you already are. So,
but Shay, you know what I think it also does, which I think mediumship does that as well, because I know from doing this for over 30 years now, I've been doing these readings and messages for people, and never, people say, don't you get tired of it? You've done this so long, you've had so many messages come through, like, and I said, you know, the moment I get tired of it, the moment I'm not excited, I don't do the work anymore, because then, you know, I don't do the work. So I think what mediumship does, and I think what near-death experiences will do, I think it reminds us who we truly are. It reminds us of our spiritual heritage, that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience, not the other way around. So it kind of puts things in proper perspective of that soul, if you will. It's a wake-up call for that soul also. It really is.
Yeah, it definitely is. I can definitely appreciate that. So, well, James, stay tuned because I actually have several more questions for you, but we do have to take our final break of the evening, folks.
Okay.
So when we come back, I'm going to finish asking James the few questions that I can fit in during the amount of time that we have left. So, Mr. James Van Praagh, do stay tuned. We will be right back, folks.
Do you need psychic advice, but don't know where to find an accurate, ethical reader? At BestAmericanPsychics.com, we've done the homework for you. Shea Parker's Best American Psychics is an exclusive internet directory of elite psychics, offering our customers only the best. Every psychic on our directory has undergone 2 separate test readings in order to prove that they meet the excellence level we require for membership. Visit us today at BestAmericanPsychics.com. We see so you can believe. Om Times Magazine is a leading voice in the conscious community, published twice a month. Each issue is packed with articles about spirituality, healing, relationships, metaphysics, and new ways for you to grow to be the person you are intended to be. New articles are also posted daily on the website. Get connected at www.omtimes.com. Om Times, changing your vibration one article at a time.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this task and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. But in the end, that's right. I hope you had the time of your life. It's something unpredictable, but in the end, that's right. I hope you had the time of your life. But in the end, that's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome back to Metaphysical Minds with Shea Parker.
248-545-SOUL.
248-545-7685.
Sing it out.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back out there, listeners. This is Shea Parker, Metaphysical Minds. My guest tonight is Mr. James Van Prague. He can be found directly at vanprague.com. You can also follow him on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, etc. And, of course, I'm sure he's got probably YouTube and all that good stuff. So just go to his website and you can find anything and everything about Mr. James Van Prague. So, folks, I know that, gosh, these hours go by so quickly, and I know there's so many questions that come in that we just don't have time to get to, but I do want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight and listening and all the supporters out there, and I obviously want to thank my guest as well. But before I do that, what we're going to do is we're going to take this last segment, we're going to talk a little bit about fear and love, and I'm going to let James actually kind of take the floor from here and get into that a little bit more in depth.
So. Okay. Well, thank you. A lot of what I find with my work that I've done over the past 30-something years, I stop at 30, you know, the something is, that the truth is very simple. And I think as human beings, we have to realize that the truth is really, really simple. And people should not get caught up in, I call it the complexity of the simplicity, because it is so simple. And it really is, life is a series of choices. That's really what it is. If people look back their life, they'll see choices that they made. And all choices are based upon two things, either love or fear. And if we live other people's lives, what people expect of us, you know, what we expect, we want love from, that's fear. That's not living in truth. When we live in truth and love, that's our natural state of being, so we'll be happy. But if we live in fear, we'll never be happy. So love is the natural state of being. And that's from all things, love in everything. You know, and that's what I say.
But what do you tell the people that are... they're facing so much to be afraid of, like they're losing their home, they're losing their job, they don't know how they're going to feed their children, they don't know how they're going to feed themselves. I mean, how do you sure. remove yourself from that?
It's a hard thing to do because, number one, this is our schoolroom, so we're always learning lessons of growth. And some of those lessons can be about loving self, about believing in yourself, about how to do something different in your life, how to take chances, how to make different choices, how to get... You know, if you can come from the center of your beingness, which is a pure love and heart, and then look at the perspective, look at the perspective a little bit differently, see the bigger picture. What am I learning from not having a job? Does it mean change my life? Does it do something different? You know, what should I do to make some money? Is something different I have to do? You know, there are ways, maybe it's a test for that soul to move on, to do something different. But there's always love. There's always love. Fear is an illusion. It really is. Fear is not real. Fear is an illusion. But if you make it your God, that's going to rule your life and nothing happens.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, it's very easy to get caught up in, especially in these economic times that we're in right now. And, you know, the...
And war and just the whole thing out there. But if you tune into that fear energy, that's what you're going to attract to you. Remember, like attracts like. And your thoughts will attract to you what you want to think about. So if you really just start thinking about love and about... You really just got to remind yourself every day, whether you put a notice on your mirror in the morning, which I do, and just put yourself in that vibration of love, you will attract that into you. Like attracts like. It's a natural law. And same with fear. Fear repels. So you just got to be cognizant of that. Be mindful of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in all of your travels, and, you know, you've obviously counseled, I'm sure, thousands and thousands of people. What do you find? Do you find that fear really is the greatest challenge of people?
Yeah, what I find is ignorance. Ignorance is the greatest challenge. I find that ignorance, and I find that when they pass the spirit world, they come back and they will often say, oh, if only I knew that when I was alive, I would have lived so differently. So I wrote a book called Unfinished Business about that, because I wish people would have no should-haves, would-haves, or could-haves. If you were to die tomorrow, would you be proud of the life you left? Would you be very proud of it, or would you not be proud of it? What would you have to do today to make yourself proud of the life you just lived? So I tell people that. So ignorance would be... limitation of the mind, you know, limitation of self.
Yeah. Now, on that note, we've only got about 3 minutes left in the show, but what would you say that your personal greatest challenge has been?
Ignorance.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know,
got it.
Opening up people's minds. You know, it's not a challenge. It's that people perceive you a certain way. You know, if I have skeptics or I have people out there or what they think you're, they judge you a certain way. And it's like, I'm a human being also. It's like, you know what? I am who I am. Don't judge me because you don't know who I am. So that's been a kind of a weird thing, because when you see things that are put out there that it's not even you, when they're talking about you, but it has your name on it, but it's not you, it just feels weird. I don't know if it's a challenge as much as just a strange thing. Maybe it's being in the public eye, but it's just so weird how people think they know you, but they don't know you. And they make up these things about you, and they don't even know who you are. That's hard.
I know. Yeah. Especially when you're a public figure. I mean, my gosh, you get so much of that. And I mean, I'm not even anywhere. I'm not even in your book. And people make that mistake about me. You know, like I'm not even close to your level. And they do the same thing. And I was like, well, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, really? You don't know the first thing about, you know, so it's, yeah.
It's funny, I was on the plane today, come back from New York, and Kim Kardashian was next to me across the aisle, and I was going to, you know, say hi to her, but I thought, you know, because I did a reading for her about 4 years ago, but I didn't want to invade her space. I thought, you know, she gets it all the time for the public, she's a public eye, and I said, you know what, don't do that. And I don't mind that, you know, people come to me publicly, that's fine, but, you know, when people attack you, that's very different, you know, that's a whole different vibe.
Oh, yeah.
So it's weird, you know. And that's not only for me, but everybody, you know. When it's ignorance, you know. People have ignorance and fear. Fear-based and ignorance. That's the things that are challenging to the world, not only to me.
It is, yeah. Well, all right, we've got about 1 minute left, and I want to ask you, what, out of everything that you have done in your life to date, what are you most proud of?
I'm most proud of saving people's lives. I'm most proud of when people come up to me at a book signing and they say, you know, I was going to kill myself, but I read your book and I didn't do it. So I've heard that many times, and that's the most proud. That would be the most proud, I would say.
That's amazing. All right.
Yeah, just like you're doing in your way. You know, we're all doing our way for the light.
Hey, that's what we're here for. So I love it. Well, James, it has been my honor and my pleasure to have you with me tonight. And again, folks, if you couldn't catch all this interview and you'd like it in podcast, you can find it on newskyradio.com. You'll have to give Brandon probably about another hour and a half, but he will have the podcast up under Metaphysical Minds on newskyradio.com. And James, I just want to thank you so very much for sharing your time and your wisdom and your experiences with me this evening. And, we'd love to have you back. So
I'd love to come back. I thank you very, very much, and I appreciate you calling me, and I appreciate all the listeners listening.
All right.
And welcome to my classes. Come on my class on my website. I'm always here.
Absolutely. All right, James. Well, you take good care, and we'll talk soon, you know, about everything else. And, all right, great. Folks, do stay tuned. Best of the Best is coming up next with Claire Braddock. She is guest hosting tonight, and her special guest is my dear friend Michelle Whitedove. So everybody do stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. And, hey, this is Shea Parker, James Van Prague. We're out of here. Folks, have a great week. Take care.